Welcome back to Trot's Life and Owner of the Week segment we do vicariously all over the place, and this is certainly one I think that fits that bill. Jackie Gibson joins us. Jackie, how are you firstly, and whereabouts are you today?
I'm very well, thanks, Toby, and I'm back on Farm at Success, Start at Young.
Let's go back a little bit. Tell us about, and I did some reading up on this, it's a beautiful little story about how did you end up at Young on Success Stud? Well, you mightn't have been around then, were you, or were you? You were, yeah,
Yeah, I was, yeah. My parents had a big property, well, the three of us did, up in Queensland at Oakey. We had Success Stud up there. And about nearly 30-something years ago, the opportunity came to sell the property, and Mum and Dad thought that they were going to do that ridiculous R-word, retirement. And so they were looking down here in the Riverina, and they found a little 50 acres, and they lobbed in here and thought, this is where we'll settle down and do the twilight years. But it hasn't really eventuated from there. I came back to the farm from living in Brisbane for a couple of years, and we've brought more country on both sides of us, of the little 50 acres, and away we've gone. There's been no retirement.
So what is, and when did Success Stud actually start, and what does it incorporate?
It started back in 1967. That's when my parents first started the little property, and they were a little town in western Queensland called Miles, a little siding there called Jalaka. And they were there for a couple of years and had a trotting stallion, an actual trotter, not a pacer. Yeah. And then Mum said to Dad one day, look, the world's passing us by. So then they moved into Oakey,
yeah,
which is just little town west of Toowoomba, and they were there for 21 years and stood six stallions and, you know, a couple of hundred mares on property, and did that for 21, maybe 22 years. So been entrenched into the harness racing industry.
What who were those stallions, or who was the name we might remember of those six stallions?
Well, there was a number that came through. We had a very good horse, Viking Fury. This is back like in the early 80s. Fury, three times one. The Admiralty was another little horse that came over from the States. And it's quite funny, Toby, because, you know, when I can remember, I was still at school and, you know, talking about this stallion that was coming, and he was really fast and he'd gone 159. You know, how crazy is that? And, you know, there was an interview done once with Marshall Dobson, and he said, yeah, wouldn't it be amazing if we ever saw two-year-olds beating 2 minutes, you know, and we all thought that that was, you know, not attainable, but look at us now.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? And In the breeding industry, a lot has changed, and in many regards, not a lot has changed. Like AI, et cetera, has changed things a lot, but then in a lot of it's probably very similar to what it was back in the 80s.
Do you think so? I don't know. Yeah. I think we're, I think it so much has changed. You know, we used to have a lot of natural service, I guess, and, you know, mares going to stud farms, whereas now, you know, we've got the transport semen, we've got frozen semen, we've got embryo transfer. There's just been so many developments, you know, probably in the last sort of 15 to 10 years, we've really just grabbed science and rushed off with it. And it's, I think it's fantastic.
Yeah, but I suppose what hasn't changed is the next stallion's coming out here, and it's run 149 from America, and it's the latest hot property, or 147 or whatever it is. More along those lines hasn't changed, which I wish it would have. I wish all we talked about was our own stallions.
Well, we're talking more about our own stallions all the time. You know, just look at King of Swing. You know, his progeny and our foals on the ground, and they look amazing. And I know a lot of people are very excited about, you know, what they have on the ground now. And then you've got Ride High out of Alabar. That's exciting to see what his stock's doing. Poster Boy, you know, all the our more colonial stallions. And of course, I guess in the modern era, that all started with Christian Cullen and Courage Under Fire, I guess, really.
Or Classic Gary. He was my favourite growing up, Classic Gary.
Classic Gary, yeah.
In my opinion, he was the first, but, yeah, those last 25 years, they have improved. And that, the Our breed is no different to the American breed really anymore, and now even our trotters have turned a bit more European, which has grown it significantly. So do you have stallions there now?
No, we don't. We haven't had the last stallion that we actually stood here at Young was a little horse called Heartland Hanover, and that's got to be maybe 15 years ago now. And then we had a change in our business structure too. Instead of, you know, purchasing stallions out of the States and standing them, we thought, right, we'll invest heavily into our broodmare band and let everybody else, you know, invest into the stallions. And then we can just go and select, you know, who we want to go to and buy, you know, even frozen semen, so that we were more concentrating on our broodmares, you know, going forward with it all. So it has certainly been a change for us. I remember when Dad, you know, first heard about transport semen, and he was like, "What, do you put it in a box and post it?"
Yeah.
And yeah, how things have changed. But the standard breeds, you know, throughout Australia, New Zealand, and the States, you know, they are the leaders and the people who work in that industry on, you know, transporting the semen and how you process it. And, you know, really, this is the breed to follow in regards of technology and moving forward.
Has a friend ever rung you from out of the industry and said, "Oh, what are you up to?" And you said, "Oh, I'm just going to the airport to pick up some semen." And do they then say, "What on earth are you doing?"
Yeah, exactly. My partner, Jock, that's during the stud season. Yeah. He becomes the stud courier.
Yeah.
And it's quite funny. We were out to dinner and they said, "Oh, you know, what are you doing later?" He goes, "Oh, I'm just going to go and pick up some semen." And there was that little bit of short break in conversation of silence. And I said, "Jocko, please explain what you are doing." You know, it is interesting. And we joke about it. And sometimes, you know, you can be in Woolworths or somewhere and you know, a client will ring and you're talking about, you know, when the semen's going to get there and when the ovulation, you think. And sometimes I think, what does the checkout lady think that I'm doing? You know, it could be quite interesting if you were a fly on the wall one day.
It's a good conversation starter or to anyway with people.
Exactly, yes.
So in that last 15 years of breeding, have you concentrated on what, selling the colts and geldings and keeping the good fillies?
We're commercial sellers, Toby, so we'll sell everything, or we try to sell everything. Sometimes we'll have a filly born out of a line that we want to keep, so we won't offer them through the sales ring at all. We'll retain those and then race them and hope that they, you know, can go on and keep the line going. But the colts will always sell. I've sold the odd filly too out of a line that I've held fairly, you know, close as well. Sometimes, you know, because we've got to keep running and the bank, you know, they look for some money occasionally as well. So, you know, there comes a time that we do offer up, you know, some fillies, but it's usually always the colts that we put through. You may remember a couple of years ago, or nearly 15 years ago, I had a little horse that was racing, 2IC.
Yeah.
He didn't ever go through the sales ring because he lost his eye as a two-week-old foal.
Yeah.
So, we raced him and had so much fun with him. And that's sort of where the racing side for me really, you know, took off from there.
Yeah, and so cleverly named too. And makes every sense. It was one of those fillies that you obviously decided to keep, and it was a great move because you won the Bathurst Gold Tiara.
Yes, yeah. She was a really lovely filly. She was out of the mare Scent. And we owned Scent in partnership with Harvey Kaplan. And we were just getting ready to sell Scent on, and we had a weanling and a yearling. And we said to Harvey, "Well, you pick which one you want and we'll keep the other, and, you know, we'll sell the broodmare." So it just was luck for us that, you know, the one we kept was who turned out to be makes every sense. And she was my dad's filly, and so she did really well for us. And on her first race start, I think that was up at the Bathurst track. That was when you had to have a race start before you could go in the heats for the Bathurst Gold Crown. So she was in training with Mark Hewitt, who's at a little town, Grenfell, not very far from here. He does all our breaking and early educating. And so he took her, and she won four on the hop for us.
That's right.
Including the tiara, which was so lovely and very, very exciting.
And she won four races later in her career, trained by David Aiken, and she ran second in Ladyship Cup. She ran third in the Queen of the Pacific at her last start. And there was a common theme. She was trained by David Aiken, but someone drove her through that period of time.
The beautiful Kima Frenning drove her for us. And that's just been a lovely, lovely story. And Kima, she first hopped on scent, but makes every sense because she's such a big mare, and you know, Kima's so little you could hardly see behind her. And she just had a great bond with that mare, and she did all the work with her at home under David's guidance. And they had a wonderful ride, a wonderful ride. And it was really lovely. I'd speak to Kima after the race, you know, and you know, we'd both be excited. And yeah, what a great journey that's been for us. But makes every sense. She was actually retired earlier. After she was with Mark, she then went to Luke McCarthy, and she raced on. But we couldn't get her in foal, and Dad and I had tried for, I think, three seasons. She wouldn't go in foal, and then we put her back into work with Luke, and then she came home, and then I had another go to get her in foal and couldn't get her, and I thought, right, you can go back to work then. So that's when she went down to David Aiken, and Kima was the driver. So so she's had a little bit of a varied career, and when she was down with David, I said to him, because I'm always the breeder, really, I love the racing, but I thought I would have another go at trying to get her in foal, and you know, we'll just see what happens. Anyway, we were lucky enough to be able to flush an embryo out of her, and then when, you know, so I had the foal coming, and then while she was still racing, which is, you know, such a great opportunity to have.
And that must have been Lochinvar Lorenzo, was it?
Lochinvar Lorenzo, yes. Simon, we called him. And so he was sold while the mare had just retired from racing. And then we put the mare back in foal again. And that was the little mare that we're racing at the moment. And we called her Kima, which was just something that I wanted to do. And I didn't say anything to Kima at all. And when the filly was born, and I was secretly hoping for a filly, and it was like, well, that's her name. And then of course, I had to approach Kima and say, is that okay? So it's been a great story.
So it's not true that she was sprightly and she was energetic and all those things as a yearling or a weanling, and that's how she got her name?
Well, it's a type of, right from the start, you know, I just sort of thought, oh, we'll go for Kima for this. And it's, you know, sometimes you can, if you think of something like that, and it can be like a disaster, and you think, oh, well, how embarrassing is that? But she's a beautiful, elegant filly, long legs, and just she's a really lovely, not unlike our beautiful Kima, the person.
She'll be listening to this because I text her and told her, so she'll have me afterwards. But anyway,
she will for sure. But the filly is a really lovely personality. She's all business, like Kima, our beautiful girl is. You know, when she's on the track, she's all about the business. Yeah, so it's really lovely.
She won the heat, and to be special, she could win the final.
Wouldn't that just be incredible?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be incredible to have her mother won it, and then her grandmother was a very successful race mare. So for us, that is a breeder's absolute dream for that to happen. But I'm just so proud that this filly, you know, has made it this far, because, you know, there's lots of things that can happen, but she just had that something about her, the foal. You know, she came through, she's a beautiful looking foal, and then when we weaned her, and then, you know, she just has that aura about her. It's difficult to explain, but when you look at a horse and you just think, wow, you know, it's got something about it that just speaks to you. I think horse people will understand.
Sort
of animal people, you know, you can look at a horse and you can just say, oh, that's just got something.
Well, I think it's a wonderful story. I'd love to see her win the final, and I think it's great you've named her Kima. It's pretty fitting, I think. And Jackie, thanks so much for joining us and sharing that story.
Thanks, Toby. Speak again soon, maybe after we win.